1.7 FM, WHUS Storrs. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's February 7th, 2023, to be rebroadcast tomorrow, February 8th, 2023, at our regular times on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Okay, so I'm a day late in putting out my Facebook Live, but that is because, you know, I've been fighting with the old COVID disease. So anyway, that's why we're just running our video broadcast a day later than normal. Anyway, welcome to Bicycle Talk with without my friendly co-host, Dr. Fran Storch, who is nursing the same thing I was nursing. So she will be back again next week, I'm sure. But if you're watching here on Facebook Live, you can always leave a comment down below. Thank you, Thomas, for watching. And, you know, I will try to respond back to you, but I can't always guarantee it when Fran's not here. So anyway, we'll do the best we can. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle calendar, and the bicycle business. So if you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can just make a comment down here below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. And if you would like to listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk, you can find them on iTunes, Spotify, or sometimes your favorite podcast outlet. Also on WHUS.org. My rant of the week. Yeah, it's COVID. Of course it's COVID. It's got to be COVID, right? It's always COVID. It's always out there. So, hello, Beverly. Hello, Billy. Thanks for watching today. I caught COVID. I was teaching my class last week up at the community center, and on Wednesday, I had a great class, felt fine, no problem at all. Got home, was kind of drinking a protein shake, getting ready to get myself some breakfast, and I just felt a little sleepy, so I laid down, and the rest is history. I started feeling really, really bad. I got the nasty head congestion thing, the wicked headache, and also just eventually turned into a lot of a sore throat and achy everywhere. The first day was, I've had easier days. I've had easier days climbing really big hills on a bicycle. But anyway, it was tough. I got to admit, this is definitely not an easy thing to get through. But the best thing you can do, of course, is to just wrap yourself up, get under the covers, and shiver it out. And that's exactly what I did. But I tested myself for COVID that very day, and it came up negative. And I'm thinking, maybe it's just who knows what it is. I don't know. I thought it was some sort of other virus. There's so many viruses going around, we don't really know. But anyway, I woke up the next morning, tested myself, and I was screaming positive. It took less than 5 minutes to show both lines. And so, hey, I had COVID. So obviously, I'd made some phone calls before that, and I had found substitutes for my classes, so my classes continued, and, the show goes on. So I took some time off and called my doctor, and my doctor got me some Paxlovid or something weird like that that makes it taste like garbage in your mouth or makes everything taste like garbage. But you know what? I did it. I went through it and I did the 5-day protocol and stayed low. We had friends bring us food because, yeah, sure. Within a day and a half later, Fran was in the exact same boat that I was in. So Fran, we just can't seem to do anything without doing it together. So isn't that touching? Anyway, that's what happened. So I avoided this thing for 3 years, 3 whole years, 3 years, including the year of the open heart surgery, the year of, all this bike rides that I lead, working for the Farm to Fork Fondo, all of that, avoided this thing. I've been, a really, really strong advocate of wearing a mask in public, and I have done that. I even wear it into the community center before I teach my class, and then after I teach my class, and I even open windows up in the community center and turn on fans and do all that before I even get on the bike. So I've been like super careful, but you know, it's just the odds are against me. So I got it. And apparently not only me, because there's a number of people that attend the community center that are also out with COVID right now. It's my first bout with it. It went okay, you know. I mean, like I said, there was one day, maybe day and a half, that was really difficult to deal with. I have not been sleeping well, you know, that's part of it. There's a whole bunch of things that are part of it. Muscle aches, that's a part of it. It's, you know, it's like, you know, a bad cold, I would say. That's what it really felt like to me. But anyway, that's my rant of the week. COVID. It's always COVID. Anyway, we're going to move on to the positive side. Shout out to Billy and Laura. You guys are, I know Billy's back on his bike a lot. Billy's out there riding. Billy's out doing laps around his neighborhood to get his hour of ride in versus going to a spin class that he's not as thrilled about. Good idea. What a great idea. Bundle up, get out there. Of course, right now up here in the Northeast, bundling up isn't really the issue. We have been having some amazingly warm weather still, even though we got the deepest freeze we've had in, I don't know, they were talking centuries, who knows. It got crazy up on top of Mount Washington. We had a really, really cold night. I think we saw 11 degrees below zero Fahrenheit here in Connecticut, in our little corner of Connecticut. So that's cold. That's really cold. If you ever want to know how cold that is, go home, or if you're not home right now, just empty out your freezer, pull all the food out, okay, and then crawl inside and close the door, and it's colder than that, just in case you wanted to know. That was a thing I used to tell my sales managers when they would call me and say, hey, Ron, what's going on? You know, where are your numbers? Where are your numbers? Well, it's January, first of all, or February or whatever. They always call you at the absolutely most inappropriate times and ask you for your numbers. And I'd say, you know, nobody's buying anything. Well, why isn't anybody buying anything? Are you selling this? Are you selling that? You know, it's always, you know, their answer is that you're not working hard enough. You aren't selling hard enough. It's never that it's so cold that there are no customers coming in the store, so therefore no one is selling anything. You know, they just sales managers. Anyway, we'll put that aside. That's my past, and I am glad it's not my present, and that's a good thing. But anyway, that was my standard response was, you know, it's X number of degrees outside. And they go, oh my God, how cold is that? And then I tell them the refrigerator story, of the freezer story. And that pretty much puts a good piece of reality onto it. But moving on, more positive things. A big shout out to New England local Lindsay Gonzalez. Lizzie went to the World Cyclocross Championships. I'll have more of that in the show. I'll talk about that a little bit more. I'll talk a little bit about how the American team made out. You know, not as good as the Dutch. Anyway, another story. Ride of Silence is live. Okay, absolutely. Big, big shout out to Kevin Mahan, who is now saying good morning to me. Hello, Kevin. So the Ride of Silence is live. I have posted the link to it on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page. So if you want to know more about that, you can click on that and you can send an email to Kevin. There's a link there for that too. And but we'll talk a little bit more about that on the show too. And let's see here, what else? The other positive side is going to be later again discussed in the show, and that will be the World Cyclocross Championships. Did anyone see the men's race, the final elite men's race in the worlds? If you didn't, I've got a little spoiler alert. Okay, spoiler alert. Don't watch it unless you want to. If you want to watch the whole thing at another time, and don't click on the link that I gave you, because there's a short segment on the Facebook page which has the whole thing wrapped up in a little package for you to watch. So very entertaining. Incredibly fast, and of course, you know, it was all Vanderpool and Van Aert. They're just they were at each other again. It was a crazy race. It was stupid fast. No one was even close to either of them. The Wattage Kings win again. You know, it was amazing. But I'll get to that in a little bit. I will move on to other things. Good morning, Bill. How are you doing today? Let's see here. What have I got? So, Mechanical Minute and Cycling Tips. Well, it's very related to the whole COVID thing, of course. Why not? We should be, right? And that's where I'm going to probably start this show, is I'm going to go right into that through my Cycling Tips or Mechanical Minute here. Give yourself time to rest and recover before exercising again after having COVID. Yeah, well, I was back on the bike this morning. I will say that I was not on the bike in any kind of aggressive manner whatsoever. I was just moving the body enough to get some blood flowing and some air going in and out. And that's essentially what it was. If you're Strava friends with me, you can see that the intensity of the workout for me was not very intense at all. I kept it in zone one, zone two all morning. But anyway, says here, so I got a few things here. You need to wait until you do not have an active viral infection, says Dr. Anderson from this site. Wait at least 10 days after having COVID-19 to exercise. This was published September 13th, 2022. And I even have a little chart here too that I'm looking at. And it talks about returning to COVID exercise after COVID-19. Stage one, rest and recovery. Don't elevate your heart rate. Take at least 10 days to fully heal and rest and recover. Stage two, less than 70% of your maximum heart rate, less than 15 minutes in duration, short walks, easy cycling like jogs. Stage three, less than 80% of your maximum heart rate, less than 45 minutes, short runs, squats, lunges, modified push-ups. Stage four, advanced exercise, less than 80% of your maximum heart rate, less than 1 hour, longer runs up to 3 miles, intense cycling, rowing. And stage five, normal sports and training, up to 100% of your maximum heart rate. And duration standard, your normal training and routine. So that's what they're saying. Where do we go with this? Well, I'll tell you where we go with it. We go to a link that I have here on this, because I'm not exactly on the same plan as what they have here. But anyway, I'll just put down what I have on this particular site. This is from NebraskaMD.com is where I got this information. And remember, everybody has a little different opinion about COVID-19. Boy, that's like a can of worms to open that one up. Anyway, so you might be anxious to get back to your usual routine. Returning to exercise depends on your level of health before COVID-19, as well as your age and how sick you were. So I'm going to say that my level of health before COVID was very good. I'm going to say that my level of fitness was, it wasn't exceptional, but it sure has been getting stronger every week. I'm definitely putting in enough hours, so I feel like I'm getting a lot out of it. My Strava came back to me in for the end of January, and it told me that I had worked out, and this was primarily, it was really, really on the spin bike, 33 hours for the month of January, which is a lot. that's, to me, that's a lot. That's a whole lot of time. And, you know, if you can do 30 hours a month and you do that for January and then February and then March and get in, you know, obviously February is a short month, but still, if you're getting in 30 hours a month, you're going to have 90 hours on your legs before you really seriously hit the road in April, which should be that time of the year here. Here, I say, everyone's a little different, but should be the time of the year that you are seeing weather that is conducive to, you know, dragging you out the door more often. So I'm hoping at that point in time, because I will still be teaching, I'm hoping at that point in time I'll be able to start riding my bike to the actual gym once I have enough daylight and all. I can't see any reason, and if it's warm enough, I can't see any reason why not, because the way this winter is going, we're going back into the 50s again, like crazy. You heard me earlier, we were at 11 degrees below zero, all right? And now we're going to go up to 50, they say almost 60 later this week. Who knows? I don't get it, but I see a lot of ducks on the lake down behind my house here, and it seems like they seem to be very happy to be back. And I watch Animal Science, and when I see certain animals that come back at a certain rate, I generally call winter over. You know, yeah, we'll still get some snow. Yeah, we'll still get some cold days for sure, but this has been one of the most unusual winters for us, and I know for most of the country, because there are other parts of the country that are just getting hammered by winter. So who knows, but it's going to be a good year for cycling, folks. That's all I can say. So that's always good. If it's warm enough to get outside and ride your bike, then, you know, the world is good. So anyway, back to the COVID. Can exercise make COVID-19 worse? The answer, according to this site, is yes. Exercise is not good while you're sick with COVID-19 or any other infection. Okay, so I waited. I test negative. I feel better. That's where I'm at. We know COVID-19 can cause myocarditis and heart damage, says Dr. Anderson. While COVID-19 is damaging your cells, the worst thing you can do is stress your heart and damage it even more. This is why I kept my heart rate super low, and that is my plan. I am planning on not really seeing my heart rate come out of zone 1 or 2 at all. That's, I think, going to be a safe way of doing it. You know, I'll keep reporting on this and let you know as far as that goes, but I am not going to do anything high stress whatsoever. Tonight's class is great. I teach a half spin class and a half yoga class. So it's about as relaxing as you can be. And so that will be very, very nice. I've been continuing to do yoga through the time that I was sick, because my back has been so sore. This thing really kind of attacks your muscles. It's weird. But my plan is just to really, really ease into this. And I don't plan a hard workout until, in my world, I think probably a week and a half to 2 weeks from now. And then I will do something that, you know, does some high stress there. But anyway, so give yourself rest and recovery before and exercising again. You need to wait until you not have an active viral infection, which I do not. Wait at least 10 days after having COVID-19 to exercise, then play it by ear and work through each stage, with each stage being about 2 to 3 days in duration. So those stages I talked about earlier, they're talking about working your way through those 2 or 3 days at a time. So if I follow that and also follow my own instincts and how I'm feeling, I think I'm going to be okay. Plus the fact that now, since I've come out of this thing, I'm actually getting out of it, my sleep patterns have changed dramatically. I was not real, you know, getting real restful sleeps when I had COVID. So now all of a sudden I noticed as I was getting better, which started like 2 days ago, that would have been day five, I was back to taking like naps because all of a sudden I just couldn't keep my eyes open any longer. So I would drop off for an hour, hour and a half. Did that for 2 days. My sleeping at night has been more intense, as far as definitely a more restful and deeper sleep, because when you wake up, you're really, really groggy. So I knew I was, you know, sleeping pretty hard. So that's all good too. So I really see, I see that I'm on a road to recovery here, which looks pretty good. But what are the COVID-19 exercise rules? Oh, I break all the rules all the time. Don't go to the gym or other shared spaces if you're sick with COVID-19. Of course not. I didn't. That's it. I was done. I stayed away. I laid low, etc. While you're contagious, isolate yourself from others. And then, you know, you can see the CDC for their recommendations as far as that goes. Return to exercise slowly and in stages. For a healthier person, you first want to return to baseline functions without fatigue. If you have orthopedic issues or other ailments, continue to take it easy. You should be able to hold a conversation while exercising. Don't overdo it. Listen to your body and ask yourself how you really feel. So a conversation I'm an instructor. I'm always having a conversation. And Billy, be quiet. I know, you know, I'm always having a conversation anyway. But that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to, go slow. So try low stress exercises for short periods, like walking, stationary biking, and light jogging. All right, so I'm there. That's where I'm at. After that, you can move to light body tasks of squats, lunges, calf raises, and modified push-ups. And the main thing is you want to take it slow and gradual. So each of my classes is an hour in length, and I can regulate where I'm at because I am ridiculously tied into, I'll just say that, just because I've been doing it for so long, my heart rate monitor. I wear a heart rate monitor, I wear a strap, and then also I also have one on my wrist here too, but I've always used the chest strap as the go-to as far as that goes. So I can see my heart rate during my entire effort as I'm putting it out there, and I know where my numbers are, so I know when, whoops, I got to calm it down a little bit because, you know, I went up a little too high. So that would be a way that I would recommend to anyone who's listening to keep an eye on this. If you are recovering from COVID, you might want to just watch the heart rate super careful. Keep it down in the comfort zone, you know, the flat road ride, the I'm cruising with a breeze to my back kind of ride. And go easy with it at first, definitely. Billy says Florida. That's funny. So anyway, you just need to try to keep it consistent. That's the key. Even when I start working out heavier, and which I have had some great workouts before I got COVID, I really stress when I'm teaching a class. If we're going to do a high stress, high interval class, that you watch your wattage numbers or your heart rate numbers and you try to maintain those. It's a lot harder to do it with the heart rate because the heart rate tends to be a slower responder when you're riding, especially on like an indoor bike or whatever. And then if you're outdoors, of course, you need the consistency of something. You know, the terrain has to be relatively consistent in order to do it. So I like to, I really like to use wattage because the wattage is it's a go-to number. It's a number that you can easily replicate much easier than heart rate, and then just let the heart rate do what the heart rate does. So when I'm teaching my class, all of the bikes that I teach on are fairly high-level bikes, and they have I'm not going to call it real wattage meter on it. I'm going to call it a relatively close wattage meter on it. So they give you, I have tested these against others, and it's within 10% or less. So it's really pretty accurate as far as that goes. So anyway, looks like Franny is on somewhere here in the house. She's hiding somewhere in the house, staying away from the screen here. So anyway, heart rate monitor is good, but I'm really much more of a wattage meter kind of guy. I think that you get a little more of your own personal consistency there. So, and you know, like I said, let the heart rate fall where the heart rate falls. But anyway, short bursts of exercise with long COVID. So here's the big question is a lot of people they end up suffering from long COVID after they get COVID. And of course, there's new medications out there. I took one of them, Paxlovid, and it's supposed to help you from getting that. We'll see. I'm hoping very much so, because I've watched Fran go through over a year's worth of long COVID that she's been suffering from. And of course, she never had COVID up until a week ago, right after I got it. So it was from something else, and we're still leaving that out there to figure it out. But anyway, I think she's going to snap back from this even better because of what she's been through before, but we'll see what happens. So she's just hanging out here at the house, canceled her patients for the day, and she'll be back to work here shortly, I'm sure. So people with long COVID still have symptoms at least 30 days past their initial infection. Short bursts of exercise aren't likely to resolve your long COVID symptoms and may even make things worse. So if you do have long COVID symptoms afterwards, it is suggested that consistently tolerable exercise that does not make symptoms worse rather than short bursts. So there's a an interesting thing, because, you know, all the short burst exercise stuff, all this, you know, high intensity interval stuff that I'm doing and I teach people to do is probably not good if you're feeling the long COVID blues. So again, keeping it low, consistent, and, you know, just keeping that heart rate low, similar to what I did this morning, I think is the proper answer here. So that's what we're looking at. Yeah, there is life after COVID. And now I get to put another little experience checkbox on my life experiences, because I've now had it. After 3 years, I got COVID. All's well. I really feel like better and better every day. I know I'm going to sleep a lot, because that seems to be hitting me hard right now as I get done with things and I just really need to lie down or just take it easy for a little while. So, you know, we'll kind of play it one day at a time and monitor things as we go along. And I'll report back to you next week as far as how Ron is recovering from COVID, and Fran too, of course. So anyway, that's it. Yeah, you can get back to exercise, but you just gotta step in slowly. If anybody is interested in knowing more about this, again, that website is nebraskamed.com. And the article that is on it is how and when to start exercising. And that's on nebraskamedicine.com. I think they're pretty close. I think they're, you know, pretty accurate as far as this goes. So we'll see how it flies. And if you'd like, I could even post this chart. And I will. I'll post the chart up on the Facebook site so people can take a look at it and see what they think. And it kind of gives you a general definition of how to handle the post-COVID days with your exercise. I don't want anybody to get hurt out there. I know I've had some friends that have had issues with heart issues afterwards, and with little microclots afterwards, and that's just not a really good thing. So you do have to treat it with a certain amount of respect, for sure.
All right. What else we got on the old Bicycle Talk page here today? Let's see. We are here. All right. So we had a show, I think, what was it? Maybe the last show I did. I was talking a little bit about indoor training and all. And I got a response back from a listener that said, road tires will slip on the trainer. Buy an extra wheel and tire specifically for your trainer and just switch them back and forth. Your power will be much more accurate. So this, what this gentleman, Bill, is saying is he's saying that he found that a regular road tire is going to, it's going to almost like skid out a little bit. It's going to slip as you try to accelerate. And then that will change your wattage reading, your accuracy of your trainer. So that's something that is a great tip from Bill. And remember, there are specific tires that work better on trainers than your standard road tire does. So if you've already invested in the trainer and you have one that is a rear wheel drive trainer, not a trainer that fits into the rear end of your bike, then that's probably a nice suggestion. And thank you very much for contributing that to the show. All right. So next thing I have on my list here is the Ride of Silence. Yes, the Ride of Silence. Shh, don't tell anyone. No, actually, we're going to tell the world. That's what this is all about. So the Ride of Silence is coming up, and it is, we do have a date here in Storrs, Connecticut, where we will be hosting the, right now, the only Connecticut Ride of Silence that I see listed right now is the one that Kevin has put up, which is great. Big shout out to Kevin for doing this. He's put a lot of effort into this, and we're both very, very excited about what the results will be this year. I think we're thinking we're going to get a pretty large population of people by the time I connect with the people I know and he connects with the people he knows and we get this thing publicized, plus we started early. I think we're going to get a pretty good crowd for a Ride of Silence this year. The Yukon Police Department, which is generally not busy at all this time of year, because the students have returned back to their homes and the campus is super quiet, is just really excited to host this thing again, because they did it for us last year and they were having a good day. They were just, you could tell they were very excited, zooming ahead of us at the intersections and making sure they stopped all the traffic. It was like they were in their own special place. It was fun to watch. So anyway, I'm excited that they're on board again with us, and I'm excited that we're basing this out of the Mansfield Community Center in Mansfield, Connecticut, in Storrs, actually, right next to the town hall, which is also right next to the high school. So there's adequate parking, and I'm hoping that we're going to get lots and lots of people to do this. So it's the 21st anniversary year of the Ride of Silence. It's always the third Wednesday of May, so this year it's Wednesday, May 17th at 7 p.m. worldwide. Southern Hemisphere and recommended rain date times, Saturday, May 20th, 2023, 10 a.m. always the following Saturday. So there is a rain date on this too, just in case, but we're thinking that it's not going to rain on us. That I'm being optimistic here. The long-term forecast says, yeah, right. Nobody does. I don't care who you are. That long-term forecast thing is just, you know what weather's going to be tomorrow? It's going to be what you step out into tomorrow. That's it. Sorry, I'm just an old New Englander. I go by the weather. To me goes by what it looks like in the sky, what the weather patterns might be, and watching the radar and walking outside and getting a feel for it. I know, not very scientific, but it is what it is. So anyway, we're hoping for a dry night, and that should be good. It doesn't take very long at all, because it's not a long ride by any means. Our ride is, let's see here, I think 3.5 miles is all we have. And so the... The thing is that this is available in hundreds of locations around the world. So this is it's a big deal. It's a really, really big event. And you will find that there are a number of people that are putting on Rides of Silence. So it's a silent, slow-paced ride, maximum speed of 12 miles per hour, not 20 miles an hour, to honor those who have been injured or killed while cycling on public roadways. Why does this organization exist? It's to honor those who have been injured or killed, to raise awareness that we are here, and to ask that we all share the road. So that's the general purpose of this. The way it works is we will have an announcement just before the ride goes off. We try to gather a half an hour to 15 minutes before the ride goes off, and people will gather and meet and greet one another, which is very nice. And then there will be a starting speech. I am hoping, and I'm reaching out right now, if there's anyone locally that is from the clergy, I'd like to have a blessing of the bicycles before we leave. That would be super cool, because it's just adds a little bit more to it. So I'm going to try to reach out there too. But if anybody knows anyone who could adequately bless the fleet as far as that goes and send us on our way, that would be super helpful. So we're going to take to the roads in a silent procession to honor cyclists who have been killed or injured on public roadways. Although cyclists have a legal right to share the road with motorists, the motoring public isn't often aware of these rights, sometimes not even aware of the cyclists themselves. So that's what the Ride of Silence is all about. And yeah, we're going to clog the road. We are going to, if this goes as successfully as I'm hoping it goes, we could get, I don't know what we could get. I know when I originally talked to these people years ago before COVID, they were bringing in, they were heading down to, I think Jacksonville, Florida, to attend the Ride of Silence down there. And they were expecting over 500 riders to show up. That's a lot of people on bicycles. That's a lot of cluster on the road. It's a big mess. But you know what? It makes a point. It really makes a point. So we're going to try to do the best we can to bring out awareness. Hopefully have some signage on us or on even the emergency vehicles that we're using, the police cars we're using, which explains it a little bit more to people that we see along the way or that we are, slowing down because of the fact that we are many on the road and they are few. So the whole idea is to really get people aware of cyclists. And this is a great way to, it's a bit of a critical mass ride. Well, maybe it's not a bit, it is a critical mass ride. Not something that I'm a big, big fan of as far as critical mass goes. There used to be a group in Hartford that would do them every week on a Friday night. And it was just like, you guys are, it's great you're doing it. I understand that you're trying to create awareness, but doing it on rush hour on Friday night was probably not a smart idea. I know people that came to me personally and started yelling at me. I wasn't on the ride. They started yelling at me about my friends doing this thing and how could they do such a thing? It's like, whoa, 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 back off, back off, back off. So that reminds me to remind you that any actions that you do on your bicycle on the road are a reflection of to us all as we are out riding on the road. So please behave, be courteous, be kind, and respectful. We talk about that in the show a lot, don't we? Anyway, so that's the Ride of Silence, and like I said, it is coming up, and there are details on the Facebook page if you want to link in. You can sign up now if you want. That's fine. You can do that too. That's really lovely. We'd love to see
you know, a good turnout of people there. Again, I am going to be, posting this in a bunch of different places and also trying to get awareness out. I have a local radio station that is in the Willimantic area, and I am going to contact my friend Wayne Norman, who is one of the, if not the longest running DJ in the United States. And we'll have a conversation about the Ride of Silence, and I'm sure he'll be very receptive to this. So it's a good thing. It's totally a good thing. So anyway, let's move on to a few other things here. What else have I got? Well, let's bounce down here. I'm going to bounce down here because cyclocross. All right. So last weekend was the World Cyclocross Championships. Saturday and Sunday, women's events, men's events. There was also a mixed team event, in which case you had men and women from teams of different countries competing. And there was, you know, there was UCI 23s, U23s, the junior racers, and then the elite men and women racers. So our friend of the show and friend of cyclocross, Lizzie Gonzalez, she was in the U23 race, and she ended up with a 15th place finish. She was the only American woman to finish in that race, and she was, you know, down about 4 minutes from the leaders, but to put it in perspective, the level of competition there is amazing, simply amazing. And the fact that, you know, being in that position means that she didn't get lapped, you know, she was just back a little way, that's all. So up and coming, big shout out to Lizzie. We love you, Lizzie. We love reading about you. And then the other thing is that she was on the U.S. Team event too, with a number of others: Curtis White, Daniel English, Madigan Monroe, Andy Strohmeyer, and Vita Lopez de Sal Roman was on that team, and they were, I believe, they were sixth overall in the team event. So this sport is owned by the Dutch and the Belgians. There's no question about it. And occasionally, you know, someone will sneak in there, like from Great Britain, or someone will sneak in there from Italy. But we have not been able to sneak in there yet. So we're still working on it. But if you watch the highlights from the race this past weekend, you can see why this happens. So a couple of big names that we that we hear a lot on this show is Wout Van Aert and Matthew Vanderpoel, two of the most promising, strongest young riders in the Grand Circuit to emerge in years. And they both started out in the cross circuit. They both started out on cyclocross bikes, and that's why I'm so excited by, you know, what it is that they can produce, because they're they've got this short burst hour or less skill set that they're using, and now they've gone on to doing 22-day stage races. So hey, there's something that's kind of interesting, isn't it? I think Matthew Vanderpoel has done better in the classics, some of the cobbles and the cobble classics, and the more one-day, two-day type race, whereas Wout Van Aert has been, you know, he's been on some the big teams, and he's doing the 22 days. And so they're two entirely different riders, and yet they have been back and forth with one another for a lifetime. And so when the two of them get on course and the gun goes off, you know it's going to be a very interesting race. I'm going to point something out with both of them that happened from this race. Once again, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it yet, so you might want to listen to this podcast later. But if I'm going to go forward with this.
The gun goes off. It's Matthew and Wart, and they are back and forth at each other. Boom, boom, boom. Push comes to shove. They're putting down serious wattage. They're putting down a lot of speed and power. And before you know it, they've got a 30-second lead over third place. So it pretty much stayed that way for the entire race. There's a very, very interesting video clip in there. If you're looking at the clip that I posted on the Facebook Live, the Facebook page, you will find a Canadian rider, goes down, gets a little tangled up, goes down, a couple guys are on the ground. He's getting up, and then another rider's getting up. Well, he's getting up, and he looks down at his hand and realizes that he has dislocated his finger. So what does he do? He doesn't go, well, I'm out of the race, I'm done. He reaches down, he grabs onto his finger, and he gives it a yank, relocates the finger, gets back on the bike, and goes. These are not normal people, okay? These are tough, tough, tough riders. And if you think cycling doesn't make you tough, let me see you do that one. I mean, we watched what was it? Was it Wout van Aert? We watched him relocate his dislocated shoulder in a stage race this past year. It's just, they're different. They're just different. It's phenomenal. You don't see that happen in many other sports. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, these guys, and they have no time. It's not like they can go over, you know, get a timeout called and then go over to the sidelines and have the trainer look at them and have them give them medical attention and then, you know, wrap them up real good and put them back in, right? No, they're in a race. They're in a race, and they don't want to lose any more time, so they just take things amongst themselves, and they take care of the problem. But watching this guy pull his finger back into place and then just hop back on his bike and go is like, wow, 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 wow. Hey, it was the World Championships. I believe that rider ended up finishing 15th overall, by the way. So no slouch by any means. That was really interesting. So that was Michael Vandenham, or it's probably Michel because he was from Canada. But anyway, that was a funny thing to see. But back to the rest of the race. Matthew Vanderpoel surged for his fifth cyclocross world title on home turf in Hoogerheide. And he outsprinted age-old rival Wout van Aert at the end of the tense 67 minutes of racing to take another rainbow jersey. The Dutchman and the Belgian adversary were inseparable for the entire race. The culmination of the 2023 Cyclocross World Championships before Vanderpoel came from behind in the final stretch of the tarmac to blast past Van Aert and secure the gold medal in front of the packed home fans. So this was in the Netherlands, by the way. It was the latest chapter of ongoing battle between the duo, who have stood at the top of the cyclocross world for the best part of a decade and have battled one another for even longer. So anyway, cool stuff. It was, like I said, great race, great to watch, very, very exciting. The course was, I'm going to say, packed mud. It was really not what I would call loose and sloppy. It had a couple of little spots here and there, but it was pretty much packed mud. So it had great advantage for both of those guys because they're solid on the road riders. And all they really needed to do was, you know, keep their bikes in check as they went through the corners real fast. And they were gonna be probably fine. I watched one clip, and it was, Vanderpoel coming around a corner, and you saw the whole bike slide. I mean, it just slid. It was on, you know, stiff, like I said, packed mud, but it did slide a little to the right as he came through the corner, and didn't even miss a beat, man. He just kept pedaling. They don't
They don't even hesitate when that sort of thing happens. This is why I'm such a huge believer in cyclocross, because cyclocross teaches you skills that keep you from panicking when you're in a situation. If you were out on the road and you were riding your bike down the road and you hit a wet patch or whatever and your bike started to slide a little bit, if you react the wrong way, you're going to be on the ground. If you just let the bike behave the way the bike is behaving, then you'll probably be able to just ride right through it. It's when panic ensues that you run into the problem, and that's when you fall down. So anyway, just to watch the fact that that's just a nothing, and to watch these riders and their faces, and they don't care. They're just, you know, they're just riding their bike. The only time they're ever really surprised is when it doesn't work and they end up falling down anyway. But it's rare. If you stay calm on your bike, it's rare that that's going to happen. So there are other reasons out there why it could take you down and there's no way out of it. But anyway, I just think that cross is a great teacher of cycling skills. And I'm really looking forward to getting involved with the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program this year and becoming a coach for them and really kind of basing it all around my Mansfield Hollow cyclocross race, because the kids will just learn so much more there. I can give them real life lessons there, and you know, we can take it from there. So it's all good. So anyway, Van Aert and Vanderpool, you know, they're going to be fun to, we're not done yet. You know, there was talk, what was it? I've talked about this on the show maybe 1 or 2 years ago. I talked about this on the show about how they, you know, this may be the end of their cyclocross, you know, empire, because you know they're moving on to doing classics and they're moving on to doing big stage races and they're doing all these different things that are demand different skills, and it's just not going to fit with cross. Boy, was I wrong. I was as wrong as you can get. Not even close. These guys are just they're monsters during the summer and they're monsters during the winter. They're just really, really, really talented. So anyway, I just thought that it would be a nice thing to share with you guys. And let's see, what else do I have up here? That's all worlds in the women's. Make sure I get this right. I know it's here. So, we're back to the same one. Well, Van Aert. Okay. So anyway, in the women's race, if you're from the Netherlands, 7 of the top 10 riders we're from the Netherlands, so obviously they did a lot of damage to the rest of the field out there. The Femme Van Empel won the elite women's race at the World Championships this year, and of course, where is she from? The Netherlands. I've got the results down here. So it was a big, big day for the Netherlands. Also, you know, that is the host country too. Second place was Puk Pieters, 39 seconds down. And third place, Lucinda Brand. There's a name we've heard for a long time. In third place, 111 down. That's when somebody snuck in there from Belgium, Sylvia Persisco, and she got fourth at 145 down, and then all Netherlands all the way up to eighth overall. So they just smoked the course there. The comment from Femme was, a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders. I had confidence in myself today. I think I stayed calm when I needed to. I tried to be as consistent as possible, she said, after accepting the rainbow jersey.
So anyway, she also notes in the race's latter stages, it was crucial to maintain the pressure. I think that worked well. I can now call myself a world champion. How cool is that? I don't realize it yet, but I will enjoy it. So anyway, that was the women's race for the world championships. So congratulations to all who were participating in that. It was really, really cool to watch. I'm going to move on right to our calendar page because we're out of time. This is what happens. So the no longer tentative, the International Ride of Silence is on May 17th, 2023. The ride starts at Mansfield Community Center at 10 South Eagleville Road, Storrs, Connecticut. Distance is approximately 3.5 miles on a college campus. No one exceeds 12 miles an hour. Everyone stays quiet. Instructions will be given just before the ride goes. And this is a rain or shine event, so we're going to try to ride it either way. Let's see. What else do I have? The other thing on my calendar, the bicycle game on early history of bicycles in Hartford is still on at the Connecticut Historical Society in 1 Elizabeth Street in Hartford, Connecticut. Check for details. On the March 26th through the 29th, the National Bicycle Summit is on in Washington, D.C., and it's the 23rd annual National Bike Summit, and it is in D.C. It features in-person workshops, mobile discussion groups, opportunities to ride, networking events, and also possibly meeting your local congressman too. That's good. That's a good thing. And promoting the fact that you are a cyclist and you have rights and you'd like to see more from it. I'm expecting that they will get a visit from Pete Buttigieg on this one too. We'll see. If you want to know more about it, you go to the League of American Bicyclists and you can check out and you can sign up there. There is also a virtual event too if you want to, if you can't make it to DC. So definitely check that out. Queen of the Classics is only a few months away. Yeah, that's the Paris-Roubaix, baby. It's coming up, and it just gets more exciting as we go along. So, finishing points, you know, continued shout-outs to my friends that are recovering from various things. Continued shout-outs to the bicycle game at the Historical Society in Hartford, and also to anybody out there who is recovering from COVID. Boy, oh boy. Didn't think that was going to be me. Oh well, that's it. Get loud, get active, and our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Remember, when you're presenting to your local governments, come with solutions, not problems or complaints. Positive beats negative every time. Please support your local bike shop. Respect one another. It's 2023. Initiate, participate, ride your bike, tell everyone you know. And finally, take on that Pedal and Ron challenge. If you have a motorized vehicle, park it for a day and use your bike just one day a week. You may surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk without my co-host, Fran Storch, although comments are in here, I can see. and this is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live right here, you can leave comments below. And if not, and you're listening to it on an audio file, you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you want to contribute information, drop me an email. This is Pedlin Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down, the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs, and WHUS.org. Thank you for listening. 7 FM, WHUS Storrs, and WHUS.org. Thank you for listening.